1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Monday edition of the program, the Bears should not go after Matthew Stafford. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Glenn Casper, the radio voice of the Chicago White Sox. We talk with him about his move from the Cubs to the White Sox, some White Sox news, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Ryan today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Let me start today with this. Much like in dating, you could sense desperation from a fan base. And as we all know, if you're desperate when you date, you get nothing. In the Bears case, in the Bears fans case, being desperate, being hard up for a quarterback will get you an inferior product. Believe me, I empathize with you. I know there's never been a 4,000-yard passer. The Bears have never had that one franchise quarterback. I get it. But being desperate will lead to disappointment. Being that hard up for a quarterback will lead to nothing. So yes, I know and I'm aware that Matthew Stafford is available now. The news went out everywhere. He's available. You could trade for him. The Lions don't want him. And of course, the minute that news comes out, everyone's saying, come to the Bears, come to the Bears. Could we stop, please? Could we stop doing that? Why is it that every single time a new quarterback hits the market, the Bears fans and the Bears faithful have to go out and make a pitch? This is not even me being a Trubisky apologist. It's the truth. Besides maybe Deshaun Watson, every other option out there will only lead to the Bears being marginally better. It's not going to be a night and day difference. Despite what the media tells you, it's not. I would not want Matthew Stafford here. I don't know why everyone else does. And this is not an indictment on Stafford as a person, great person, meant so much to Detroit. He's their best quarterback they've ever had. I know. But for all of you who tear down Mitch for not winning, for not being accurate, for doing nothing despite having no team around him, you understand that all of those characteristics apply to Matthew Stafford too, right? Just want to make sure we're aware. Every time in the comments of my videos and on Twitter, everybody says the criticism will go away for Mitch when he wins. Matthew Stafford hasn't won anything. So why are those same people asking for Stafford? Oh, the team he was on was horrible. If he was on a good team, he'd win. This team isn't good. I don't get it. Someone explain it to me. I don't understand. Look, I'll pull up his stats. Yes, I know, 5,000 passing yards in a season, 4,000 yards every year. What has that done for Detroit? Wins aren't a quarterback stat. Well, they're 74-90 under Matthew Stafford. I know that's not only him. Part of it's the team. Part of it's the coaching changes. But that's significant. When they made the playoffs, they didn't win. Matthew Stafford has the same amount of playoff wins as, you guessed it, Mitch Trubisky. But no, he's 10 times better. Way better than Mitch. 0-3 in the playoffs. 4 touchdowns, 3 picks in his career. You have to ask yourself, what do you want? What do you want in a quarterback? The truth is, you want Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, guys who win, guys who produce and put up numbers, both. Stafford, without question, puts up numbers. Good for him. Can't win, though. And don't tell me he had no weapons. Don't even try it. Calvin Johnson, first ballot Hall of Fame receiver. Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay. They've never had a run game. That's fine. That's fair. But he's had receivers. He's had targets. There's a reason why they didn't win. The team isn't good. And Stafford isn't a game changer. Stafford's a good quarterback, but he's not a game changer. Tell me I'm wrong. There's a reason why they've gone 74-90 under him. You could blame it on the team, but some of that blame has to go to the quarterback. You can't honestly say none of it falls on him. The guy throws picks a lot. 144 in his career. He has an interception issue. He has a completion percentage issue. 63% for his career. Mitch is 64. Funny. Everybody criticizes Mitch for that. Oh, he's inaccurate downfield, can't complete passes. What do you know? The guy you want is worse. Don't be desperate. Don't jump at every name you see. I'd love Deshaun Watson. We know, though, he's not coming here. He's not. The Bears have no future. I understand the Jets. They have a future. New coach, draft picks. They got a future. Yeah. The Bears don't. No direction, nothing. They retain Nagy and Pace. Supposedly next year's a big year. They're going all in. Yeah, if I were Watson, I wouldn't buy that for a second. So what do you have left? Nobody apparently wants Mitch back, which, okay, fine. But what are your other options besides him? Nick Foles is staying. We could all agree we've seen enough of that experiment. The Bears have no room to sign anyone. I'd love Tyrod Taylor, but even that's a stretch. Or you could trade. Carson Wentz may or may not be broken. We don't know. Matthew Stafford is a quality quarterback, but we saw what he did in Detroit. He may put up numbers, sure, but he can't win. The proof is in the pudding. Can't win. Can't win in playoff games. Never been to a Super Bowl. Puts up numbers. 74-90 career record. You know, I remember a couple of years ago when Kirk Cousins went to the Vikings. Everybody made a big deal about the money he got for being a losing quarterback. Now, though, today, it's incorrect to say that. Now, wins don't matter to a quarterback. But a couple of years ago, when Kirk Cousins got his $30 million for 3 years fully guaranteed, all I heard was, this guy's a losing quarterback. How could you pay him that much money? Why are we shifting the narrative? Why are we saying wins matter for some, but not all? Mitch Trubisky's a winning quarterback. Yes, part of that falls on the team. But wait a minute. Everybody's told me, I'm under the impression that the team is bad. See? Which is it? Which is it? You can't fool me. You could try and twist words and turn them around. You can't fool me. The narrative keeps shifting on Mitch and the Bears. And then it shifts in a different direction when it's convenient. Like in this case with Stafford. Oh, we gotta get him. All the critiques on Mitch, most of them, could be applied to Matthew Stafford. I haven't heard anybody say that, though. No one. Stafford can't win. We know that. 0-3 in the playoffs. Worse completion percentage than Mitch. More interceptions. Haven't heard that, though. No one said it. He may be a stable franchise quarterback, but he's not that good. People are making him out to be like a Tom Brady to the Bears. He's not. Not even close. He'd be a marginal upgrade. You'd be getting some veteran leadership. You'd be getting a guy who maybe would throw for 4,000 yards, and that's it. You're not guaranteed winning. See, when I look at a quarterback, I wonder, is he going to make a difference? Will he win me games? Matthew Stafford won't for the Bears. He may for another team that's stacked around him. But the Bears are pretty much the Lions at this point. So how is it accurate to say he transformed the Bears into a winner? How does that make sense? And he has a worse completion percentage. He's worse. Worse than Mitch. I know no one likes Mitch, and I'm not being an apologist here. I'm just stating the fact. Mitch has, in some cases, better numbers than Stafford. The things that they criticize Mitch for could be accurately applied to Stafford, but I haven't heard anything. I see it all the time in these comments, on these videos, on the radio show. Oh, if Mitch wins, all the criticism goes away. Where's the criticism on Matthew Stafford? Oh, his team's bad around him. What, so the Bears are good then? The Bears are a good team. All of it falls on Mitch. Right? That's what you insinuate by making that comment. We have to think. I know you're desperate. I know you're hard up for a quarterback. But don't lower your standards. Matthew Stafford would make a marginal difference. To those who say the Bears would win under Stafford, what has he done in Detroit? Nothing. The Bears are similar to Detroit. So what would he do here? Nothing. He'd throw for 4,000 yards. If you're all worried about franchise records and having a 4,000-yard quarterback, he'll get your wish. But if you're worried about winning, if you're worried about playoff winning, Mitch and Stafford are the same. I'd argue Mitch is better. If we're talking about winning. So what's the argument here? What's the argument for Matthew Stafford? Besides numbers and a bigger arm, that's all you're going to get. It doesn't make sense to me. The hypocrisy is off the charts. All of you criticize Mitch for a bad completion percentage, being inaccurate, throwing picks. Stafford has a worse completion percentage and throws more picks. And I haven't heard anybody bring that up yet. And you won't. You won't hear it. You gotta laugh sometimes. You really do. You gotta laugh at the hypocrisy. Deshaun Watson, much different. Deshaun Watson would be a good fit. I could see it. He would be better than Mitch. Matthew Stafford, marginal. He'll be marginally better. The Bears would still be a losing team next year if they do nothing to the team and just bring in Stafford. They'd go 7-9. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So is that what you want? You want 7-9 or 6-10? Is that this whole conundrum? Oh, if Mitch starts, they'll go 5-11. If Stafford comes in, they'll go 7-9. We'll take it. In the end, you still aren't making the playoffs. And if you do somehow, Stafford isn't winning. We know that. Can't win a playoff game. So what's the real argument here? I know what it is. It goes all the way back to my open. Desperation. People are so desperate here to get the one franchise quarterback, and I understand. I do. But don't lower your standards. Don't ask for somebody who's pretty much the same as the guy you got. That won't solve anything. I encourage all of you who really, really want Matthew Stafford to look at his numbers and look at Detroit in the years he was there. Please, do me a favor and go look. I know you're all oohing and aahing at the yards and the touchdowns and the completions, but his completion percentage and his interceptions are a big red flag. Huge. You people criticize Mitch for an interception in the end zone against the Jaguars. One. I'd love to see the reaction when Stafford throws 20 of them a year. Or maybe I won't. I forgot no one will say anything. Everything will be fine. How much you want to bet if Stafford comes in and the Bears go 7-9? He won't be blamed. But this year for going 8-8, it's all Mitch's fault, right? My goodness. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Think for yourself. Evaluate who Matthew Stafford is. Don't just listen to some talking head, including me. Do your own research. It's apparent that although he throws for a lot of yards, he can't win. The number one knock on Mitch, apparently, is he can't win. The number two knock is can't be accurate. What do you know? Stafford can't be accurate. Number three, bad decision-making. What do you know? Stafford has more picks on an average basis than Mitch Trubisky. So what are you really getting? You're getting a veteran, sure. You're getting a 4,000-yard passer. Yes, you are. But that's it. He'll have no weapons, just like in Detroit. He'll have no team. The Bears will lose. Then who's going to be blamed? That's what I want to know. Then who's going to be the scapegoat? Will it be Nagy, Pace, the quarterback again? My guess is it won't be the quarterback. Think for yourself. Evaluate Stafford on your own. The experts that claim they know everything are being hypocrites right now by saying Stafford's way better than Mitch. I got into a Twitter argument 2 weeks ago now. I said David Montgomery was a top five running back. Hey, top five in rushing yards. I was told I'm an idiot because I'm not taking into account rate stats. Fine. You want me to talk rate stats? We'll talk rate stats. Matthew Stafford throws more picks and has a worse completion percentage than Mitch. He can't win in the playoffs, just like Mitch and the Bears. So what are you really getting? What are you getting? This is a lesson, I think, to Bears fans, to everybody who's watching and listening. Don't be desperate. Patience is a virtue. I'd rather the Bears run it back with Mitch, who's still young and could still prove himself if he's given the right system to operate in, than let Matthew Stafford come in and throw 20 picks and 30 touchdowns and have the Bears go 7-9. And have the Bears be responsible for a contract. And then there's the possibility, of course, of him getting hurt. Lots of injury history. There are a lot of holes in this plan, and everyone just sees the positive, just like I see the positive in Mitch and a lot of other players. But everyone else, when it comes to them, they see the negative. See how that works? Be consistent. Take a look at who Matthew Stafford is. And if you're a Bears fan and you care about the future of this team, I strongly recommend you do not advocate for him coming here. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Len Casper comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free dollars to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident. You could bet $253 on any game you want this weekend. NFL is off, but the Super Bowl's coming up. Why not put down some bets? NBA, college basketball, it's a great time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago, here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the radio voice of the White Sox and the former TV voice of the Cubs. Please welcome Len Casper to the program. Len, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Doing great, John. Happy New Year, and it's always fun to talk baseball in the dead of winter.
So, Len, how'd the White Sox come up?
The White Sox. Well, where should we start? The White Sox are going to be really good this year. I'm excited about the challenge and my first year. I'm kind of the rookie. I hope to hit the ground running. I'm going to miss being with the Cubs terribly. It was not an easy decision, but I'm very, very excited about the new and hopefully final chapter of my broadcasting career.
Were you even expecting to leave the Cubs at first? Like, at the beginning of the offseason, did you know about this? Were you thinking about it at all?
No, not really. It kind of came together pretty quickly. Ultimately, these jobs don't open very often, and because we love Chicago and the job happened to be here, the timing was such that I decided to go for it, and thankfully, the Cubs and Marquee Sports Network and the White Sox all kind of worked together, which was really important to me. No bridges were burned. I think in the end, everybody was pretty happy, and the Cubs ended up hiring my best friend, John Shombe, to replace me. So at the end of the day, I think everybody kind of got what they wanted, and it's rare that you can say that about a big situation like this.
What would you say was the number one reason you made the move?
I think ultimately at 50 years old, I wanted to get back to my roots as a radio broadcaster. I love doing television, and I'll still get a chance to do a handful of games, but I've never been the number one radio voice of a big league team, and that was very appealing to me, and it's something that I really wanted to do, and because, again, that opportunity presented itself, I decided to go for it. That's probably the number one reason.
How much did Ernie Harwell influence this decision and your career in general?
Oh, it's immeasurable. Ernie was my broadcasting hero growing up. I got to know him when I became a broadcaster later on. And I always thought about his job and how great it would be to be the radio voice of a team. And there's no question that his influence affected ultimately my decision. As I said, I love television as a medium. I've had a wonderful time doing it, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to check as many boxes as I can in this career and in this life, and that's ultimately why I decided to do this.
What's your favorite Harwell memory?
Well, there are a lot of personal memories of being around Ernie and the like, but I would say listening to Ernie, probably the 84 season, the no-hitter Jack Morris threw at Comiskey Park. There's a YouTube probably 7 to 8 minute bottom of the ninth that you can find, and it's Ernie calling the last three outs of the no-hitter, and it reads like poetry. He was just so great with the language, very efficient in his verbiage and his vocabulary, and just was great at describing what was happening and doing it in a way that really brought you to the ballpark. So if you get a chance to maybe go find that YouTube clip, I would highly encourage you to do that.
Len Casper here on Sports Talk Chicago. Len, how would you describe your Cubs tenure now that it's over?
It was magical. 16 years. I think about all the amazing things I got to witness and the people I got to be around. I think of I think of all these eras, right, in air quotes, Dusty Baker, Lou Piniella, Jim Hendry, Alfonso Soriano, Carlos Zambrano, Kerry Wood, Greg Maddux. You know, I'm going to forget some people here, but Derek Lee and Theo Epstein and Tom Ricketts and the WGN Superstation era. David Ross, Joe Maddon, the World Series championship in 2016. Watching Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber and Javi Baez get their careers started and see Anthony Rizzo blossom and John Lester and Kyle Hendricks. Just you keep going down the list. It's really remarkable just how many amazing games and players and teams I was able to watch over the course of those 16 years. And I'm very thankful, and nobody can take those memories away from me.
What do you think your legacy will be with the Cubs?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know what that word really means as it applies to my career. I guess I would let other people make that determination. I'm not sure there's any such legacy other than just kind of carrying the torch from Chip Carey and handing it off to John Shombi. And hopefully, you know, I did Harry and Jack proud, and that they looked down and felt like I kind of kept the flame burning, so to speak. And you know, beyond that, for me, it's all about the relationships I made and the friendships, and that goes well beyond the broadcast booth and the baseball park. I mean, I've made so many friends who are just Cubs fans in everyday life, and they'll be friends forever. And that means the world to me, and that's really what life is all about, is making those connections.
What's your farewell message to Cubs fans? To those who watched you for 16 years, what do you say to them now?
Thank you for welcoming me into your home every day. It was something I never took lightly. It's a huge responsibility, and I'm very, very grateful for all the support, all the amazing comments, and just how polite and generous and nice people have been to me. And that includes really in the 6 weeks that have passed since I left to go to the White Sox. You know, there have been a few people who have been upset that I left, which I totally understand. But for the most part, I think people get why I did what I did and have been incredibly supportive.
Len Casper here on Sports Talk Chicago. Len, are the White Sox World Series contenders this year? What do you think?
I would sure hope so. You know, on paper, especially after getting to the postseason in 2020, having a little experience in that regard, adding Adam Eaton, Lance Lynn, you've got a real hard-throwing bullpen. And then, to me, the big move was Liam Hendricks. You can kind of take the ninth inning and maybe some days the eighth inning completely out of play and just understand that it's a seven-inning game and hand the ball to Hendricks and you feel really good to get the final 3-6 outs. I'll be fascinated to see how Tony La Russa handles this bullpen. He's long been known as a tactician and a real amazing touch with how he has dealt with his relievers over the course of his career. You know, he's kind of the godfather of specialization. It has changed even more so over the last 9 to 10 years. So now coming back at age 76, I look forward to learning a lot from Tony. As I mentioned, you know, I've been around Jill Madden and Dusty, Jack McKeon, Lou Piniella, Jeff Torborg, young David Ross. I've been really lucky in being around some fascinating managers in my career, and I'm excited to get to know Tony. And then offensively, this team's going to score a bunch of runs. They're a very powerful group in 2020, and I expect that to continue. And the Eaton addition is nice because he and Grandal take walks. That was probably the one thing this team didn't do particularly well over the last few years. So I think the Eaton move kind of rounds out the dynamic nature, so to speak, of this offense.
Do they have the most complete lineup, in your opinion, in baseball?
Well, it's pretty it's right up there for sure. I think there are a lot of other teams that are pretty impressive. You know, Houston's going to lose a little bit, but, you know, the way they approach things offensively is really good. The Yankees, I think, will be very formidable offensively. The Dodgers and the Nationals in the National League, the Padres. But, yeah, I would put this White Sox group up just about against anybody in either league.
What about their starting pitching, especially the top three? You mentioned Lance Lynn. That obviously is much improved. What do you think about that part of the team?
Yeah, the rotation is really good at the top. Lynn is arguably a number one, and he might slot in number three behind Giolito and Keuchel. You know, you've got other guys, and I think 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, because ultimately you're going to need extra pitchers become pretty important. So I think the bottom of the rotation will be intriguing to watch. You know, Dylan Cease might be kind of a key to the White Sox in 2021. Can he take that next step up? And if he can, that really changes the math, in my opinion. Ronaldo Lopez has always been kind of an interesting guy and has potential to be really good. I think that there's a chance this rotation top to bottom could be as good as any in the American League. But definitely the top three, you feel very good that they're going to give you a lot of quality innings.
Who's your X factor, both in the rotation and then offensively? Who would you pick?
Well, I mentioned Cease. I would say he's kind of the X factor in the rotation. Offensively, probably Luis Robert, coming off a great rookie year, a really good start, you know, had to make some adjustments late in the year. But to me, the sky's the limit. And at his best, I think he can be an MVP. I really do, with what he brings with his speed in the outfield and with that bat. I think Luis Robert has a chance to be a superstar.
What's your realistic expectation? I know we talked World Series, but would you say at least the Sox could win the division this year?
Yeah, I think the realistic expectation is this team should compete for a playoff spot, and ultimately the division would be ideal. We still, John, don't know what the playoff field will look like. My guess is it'll be more than 10. I think MLB would like it to be 14 teams, 7 from each league. If that's the case, I think you really like the White Sox chances. But even if it's back to 10, they should compete for a division title and absolutely should be a team that should play deep into October.
How do you feel about that playoff change and all the other rules that we've seen changed recently because of COVID?
I like it at 10. You know, I'm more of the mindset of the 162 mattering as much as possible. And the more teams you add, the less important the grind is, and you know, you end up allowing teams that are too close to 500 to get in. I understand why they want to do that. The extra innings rule, I was expecting to hate, but I actually kind of liked it. I'd be fine if they continued that this year. And really down the road, it would be fine with me in the regular season. You know, these 17, 18 inning games just ravage your bullpen and can really ruin things for about a week. And if our job is to protect arms in this game, I think extra innings being 11, 12 innings max makes a lot of sense. In terms of the seven-inning doubleheader, probably something I wouldn't want to continue to do beyond this year. I think a major league game is 9 innings, and I wouldn't want to mess with that too much.
What about the universal DH?
I think it's here to stay. The fact that they did it last season, and it didn't seem to get a ton of pushback, would lead me to believe that if the union wants it, and of course the union will want it, I think it's here to stay.
I saw your proposal on Twitter where for the NL, maybe there'd be a hybrid idea where maybe the pitcher would hit the first time around, then you'd switch it to a DH. Can you explain that and tell me what you think about that part of it?
Well, I'm just trying to make everybody happy, and the pitchers who are best able to do something at the plate are the starters. And instead of tying your DH to the starter, which means, you know, I suppose you might get another inning out of your starting pitcher to keep that bat in the lineup. You know, I don't know if I want Nelson Cruz's bat to leave the lineup in the sixth inning every night. So if we just take that first time around and let a Zach Greinke or a Madison Bumgarner or somebody like that take their hacks in the second or third inning, and then after that the DH takes over, I would be fine with that. But ultimately, it's probably just going to be the straight-up universal DH, and that'll be the end of it.
More to come with Len Casper in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Len Casper is still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Len, two more questions before we finish up. First off, your favorite memories with Bob Brenly and Jim Deshays are what?
Well, so many to name, but I think in Brenly's case, it would be the Zambrano no-hitter in Milwaukee. The first no-hitter thrown at a neutral site. That was a bizarre, crazy, wild weekend. We almost didn't get on the air because it ended up being in the Sunday night ESPN window. That was on WGN. And then JD, I mean, you know, the 16 season in general would stand out for me. But maybe the remote no-hitter we called this past year, Alec Mills at Miller Park in Milwaukee, while we sat in the back of the home TV booth at Wrigley Field. It was very strange and odd, but we had a blast doing it.
What was that like for you to call games remotely?
It wasn't easy. It was a challenge that I tried to attack with gusto. It wasn't perfect, but I think we pulled it off. Again, I would always rather be at the site and the scene of action whenever possible, but during a global pandemic, it just didn't make sense to travel.
Are you expecting to do that again this year in the radio booth?
I don't know. I hope not. My hope would be, especially on the radio side, we'd be able to be in as many ballparks as possible to be as accurate as we possibly can. I think it's maybe easier calling the game on television. My hope is that we're at spring training from day one and that we're able to travel with the team the whole year.
And Len, before we finish up today, last question. Do you have a Skechers addiction?
Probably, yeah. I've probably bought 100-plus pairs of Skechers shoes over the years, and it's the only type of shoe I will wear outside of maybe I wear Adidas for my tennis gear, but that's about it. Yeah, I think I do.
What's your favorite pair to wear when you broadcast?
I don't even know the names of them, but anything with Skechers on it, I think, is worthy of being broadcast ready.
Well, Len, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure, and best wishes to you in your new position with the White Sox. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, John. Best of luck to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Great talk there with Len Casper, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Len Casper himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Never the turtle!